From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Week 15 of the NFL season is a fantastic time to talk sports. Bill Michaels is out for the day. I'm Kevin Holden from CBS 58. And I pick a good day to come in and talk sports. I pick good days. It's not just, I mean, look, I get it. You know, things come up in life and you know, Bill's got stuff to do. So I'll step in gladly, hanging out with Radio Joe and the bunch on the Bill Michaels Sports Network. But today, could be the day that we find out that number 12 is coming back, at least to practice. I don't think Mike McCarthy is going to say or find, you know, through some back channel source or whatever, we're going to find out that Rodgers definitely will play as of today. That's coming. But this drama is going to play out over probably a few more days than that. But I imagine somebody somewhere today is going to say, quoting a source, that Rodgers is coming back to practice at the very least, and probably medically cleared based on what we hear. The point is, today is the day that you can ease back in to the Aaron Rodgers era of Packers football. And that means you get to talk about Jim Mora's favorite word, playoffs. Jim Mora's favorite word in the language, playoffs. He doesn't want to talk about playoffs, but in Green Bay and all throughout Wisconsin, we're going to be talking about playoffs. And you know why? Because the 7-6 Packers all of a sudden have this path. Now, it's a long path. I'm not saying it's a one-step process.
Playoffs?
What is it?
Playoffs.
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 Don't talk about playoffs.
Playoffs.
You kidding me? Joe, our interns probably don't even remember when that happened.
Yeah, were they even born then?
I'm scared to ask.
Yeah, really, what year was that he did that?
It's like, was it 94?
Yeah, I was, if it was 94, I would have been 4 years old.
Maybe it was a little later. I'd have to go look. But yeah, playoffs. And the point is that, you know, again, last year this team was 4-6. And nobody was talking playoffs. And they made it to the NFC Championship game by winning 6 games in a row. This Packers team is 7-6. They still have a task ahead of them because if they win out, they're still not guaranteed to get in. You saw the list, right? There's this long thing where the Packers have to win out and two other things have to happen from this list of items. Panthers losing a game, the Falcons, I think the Seahawks losing a game. Some wild scenarios involving the Saints or the Rams, that sort of thing. But doesn't your gut tell you that you've been here before? Doesn't your gut say to you right now that there's that little daylight that's open? And if we know anything from Aaron Rodgers' career, we know that he runs to that little crack of daylight. Trailing in Detroit in the fourth quarter, terrible game, no problem. Defensive penalty, Hail Mary, Richard Rodgers, game one. 4-6, no worries. Run the table. That's 8 straight wins. 6 in the regular season. 1 over the Giants. That was a Hail Mary at halftime. 1 over the Cowboys. And they made it to the NFC Championship game with Ladarius Gunter as their top corner.
Who, by the way, plays for Carolina now.
Right.
But
yeah, you're going to see him.
I think he's on the practice squad.
So Aaron Rodgers is going to have a chance to take another Packers team on a playoff run. And it just has that fairy tale feel to it. I mean, think about this, Joe. Go back to October. Rodgers gets hurt. And the Packers tweet during the game. During the game. Aaron Rodgers is hurt and could miss the rest of the season. I'm not misquoting that, right? That's what they said.
No, that was correct. And that was a big surprise by everyone because that's usually something no team does, where they actually not only say the player's hurt, but then already say Yeah, he's probably going to miss the entire year. Usually you wait on that. You wait for x-rays and scans and all that. You wait until after the game to make a decision to say, yeah, he done. And that was a surprise when I saw that.
A huge surprise, right? In the world of modern gamesmanship, in the NFL, when we don't talk about injuries because sometimes there's an advantage to having the other coaching staff prepare for two people at a position, especially quarterback, you never hear something like that, but you did in this case. And at that moment, I thought, when the Packers tweeted out, Rodgers is injured and could be done for the season, my thought was, they just set the storyline. It's almost as if, and I have no insight into this, so don't read anything into this, but it's almost as if that tweet was sent to start the storyline in motion. It was sent so that Rodgers could begin his own storyline, his own revenge trail of sorts.
So you think...
Conspiracy theory?
Okay.
Just saying. I mean, it could possibly have been done with Rodgers' approval. I don't know. My guess is maybe you do ask your superstar if you can tweet that about them. But maybe not. Maybe Scully and Mulder will dig in 20 years and come up with paperwork that says we set this up and Rodgers, since that day, has been working double time. Like, I imagine the night that Carson Wentz tore his ACL, that Rodgers spent the entire night on the exercise bike.
Yeah.
The entire night, Aaron? The entire night?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I think because that's the sort of thing that this guy thrives on. It is part of his legacy of success in Green Bay. What he does when it's not just crunch time, but revenge time. That's why the concept of a 6-seed Packers at a 1-seed Vikings. I love this music background. This is great. The concept of Packers Vikings in the second round of the playoffs, it just is like a chills down your spine kind of thing. Because Rodgers now would have the chance, if this plays out this way, to beat the Vikings twice. Once at Lambeau to help the Packers get in, and once in Minnesota to knock the Vikings out. I know I'm dreaming right now. I'm dreaming.
Playoffs!
Right. I know. They got to win. They don't even need to win one game, Jim Mora. They got to win three.
Playoffs?
And
I'm
hope
talking
for
about
some help.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
You kidding me?
Playoffs?
We're just trying to win a game. Trying to win three games. And by the way, Joe, first of all, I should ask you, because I'm just rambling on. Is your gut telling you the same thing, that the Packers are going to make the playoffs? Because my little, you know, radar for these things is going nuts right now.
After what I went through as a Packer fan last year, laughing at Aaron Rodgers when he even made the comment about running the table, considering how bad things were with a 4-6 record, I said it on this show after it was all said and done, getting to the playoffs, getting to the NFC Championship game, doing really essentially the unthinkable. I said, I'll never underestimate Aaron Rodgers again. I won't. I won't do it. And I remember, you know, Aaron Rodgers was in that funk. Remember that? Remember, yeah. 2015 was just a nightmare year. Aaron Rodgers wasn't Aaron Rodgers. And that carried over early on into the 2016 season. Part of the reason why you were sitting at a 4-6 record. But I truly believe that it was his personal life that was interfering. But that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day. The bottom line is Aaron Rodgers became the old Aaron Rodgers again. And then this year, it carried over where it was the old Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers in that Dallas game, that man was at a pinnacle in Dallas. It was a vintage Aaron Rodgers performance. Being able to do what he did when it felt like the Cowboys were in control of that game.
Yeah.
And the way they won it, the way everything went down, that last drive, that was all impressive stuff. And a lot of trust there from the offense. And now Aaron Rodgers, if he does come back, and let's just make this clear, there's no guarantee Aaron Rodgers plays Sunday against Carolina.
No, absolutely.
There is really no guarantee. But based on all these reports of how good he looks in practice, how well he's throwing the football, and just the swagger, Tim Allen mentioned swagger yesterday, the swagger that Aaron Rodgers has on the sidelines, and you just look at him in that Cleveland game, the look on his face, you just know he wants to play. He's ready to go. He's feeling it. But you put all this together, and now you put Aaron Rodgers back into this situation where all of his receivers are healthy. He has a formidable running back core with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. Now, we were just seeing the emergence of Aaron Jones in that Cowboys game. Aaron Jones had that breakout performance against Dallas. Now you got Jamal Williams on top of that, and it's going to be interesting to see how they will scheme with their running game and with their passing game, assuming Aaron Rodgers comes back. But you've got all these different weapons now at your disposal, Kevin, with Aaron Rodgers. And really, you don't even have to expect Aaron Rodgers to be throwing 40 passes. Because if he's not fully 100%, you don't need to rely on the arm all day. You can go back to that running game. That would work. I just think the way it's culminating, and after what I went through last year as a Packer fan, my gut is telling me the Packers will be in the playoffs. Not saying Super Bowl, not seeing NFC Championship game. They could get into the wild card game and lose. But my gut is telling me right now that they're gonna get in. That they're going to get in. I feel it, and I am expecting some big things from Aaron Rodgers. I'm not expecting Aaron to be the old Aaron Rodgers and to be able to play at this such a high level, because I just don't know how that collarbone's gonna react. Because again, it's with his throwing arm. So I'm just looking at it right now on the surface, and I just feel like my gut's telling me they're going to get in.
You know, you've got these sites that do percentages, right? Playoff
right.
percentages.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about Vegas odds, because that's a whole other thing we were talking about. But there are sites that say, well, okay, so-and-so's percentage chance to make the playoffs, and there are a few teams like Philadelphia who are already in, which good for them, since they're going to spend the next 3 weeks training Nick Foles, basically, for the playoffs.
Right.
But the Packers, in the latest version of this that I see, there's a website that I go to that has these playoff percentages, has the Packers at 6% to make the playoffs. 6%. Now, I want to contrast that, Joe, with something that you guys talk Vegas stuff on the show?
We do.
Okay. So I'm free to go here.
Go for it.
Yeah, it's is it Bovada or Boveda?
Bovada.
Bovada. Okay.
I say Bovada. Tomato, tomato.
You say tomato.
Yeah.
I know. I know what that is. So Bovada in Las Vegas has this, you know, these odds that they post on franchises winning the Super Bowl. And as you can imagine, you know, New England is up there, and, you know, Pittsburgh, of course, has looked great. The Eagles pre-Carson Wentz have been right there. The Packers went from 33-1 to 18-1. Over the weekend. And their playoff percentages actually, in terms of like the standings and everything, went down. Because they won, but there were other teams that won that the Packers kind of needed to lose. Atlanta is the one that comes to mind. But think about that. Vegas, who knows what they're talking about? If you've ever, you know, tried to play with that fire, you know you can get burned very easily. Those odds went from 33-1 to 18-1. So Aaron Rodgers means that much, that a team that beat Cleveland in overtime, most of the time we'd be calling that a terrible win. But in this case, they go to 18-1. So your playoff percentages are 6% to make it, but yet your odds to win the Super Bowl, according to someone in Vegas, are 18-1, which if you do the math, is about 6%.
The Packers are behind when it comes to odds to winning the Super Bowl, according to Bovada. The Packers are behind the Rams, Saints, Eagles, Vikings, Steelers, Patriots. So they are seventh on the list.
And they are seventh on the list despite being a long shot to make the playoffs, which tells you Vegas thinks if they make it, they instantly become a contender. And that's... it's interesting. That's a whole other topic of discussion, because
that's Aaron Rodgers,
right? But that's
the impact Aaron Rodgers has.
But the secondary is kind of in the position they were in last year. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. But with Rodgers possibly coming back, we may be closing the door on the Brett Hundley era, or we may not if Rodgers isn't ready. But I think we've had enough time now to kind of begin drawing conclusions from the Brett Hundley era, whether it's over or not, and we'll talk about that next on The Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of The Bill Michaels Show brought to you by Cousin Subs, where you can get the best seats in the house. Go into Green Bay, sitting on the 50-yard line in plush leather recliners. Just simply go to Packers.com/best seats. And that's all brought to you by Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, and where they believe in better.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Playoffs?
I understand there's a lot of interest in Aaron Rodgers' status. Just to give you an update, there's a number of scans testing that went on this morning. It is now in the evaluation stage. Dr. McKenzie is reviewing it. There's a number of medical opinions that will be involved in the decision. So at this time, I do not have a clean decision for you or an update. That's where it stands.
Very upset with myself because I can't place it, Joe. I can't place the theme.
See, you would strike me.
Oh, I totally watched the show because it's ringing a bell with me, but...
Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, yes.
With Robert Stagg.
Of course.
Yes.
Senility is getting in the way, Joe. You're going to get there eventually.
I think I'm already getting there.
You better not get there this early. You got some time, dude. You got some time.
My body's already breaking down. I got a bad neck. I'm getting a tooth pulled next week. My life sucks.
Dude, that's
enough
that's just,
about me.
That's just mid-December is all that is.
Yeah.
Picture you on the other end of the 25th. You're going to be just like sprawled out in a bed. Just like, I gotta take 3 days. The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers in the beginning of the show. And there was a tweet that I responded to during the break. Joe, I'm going to bring it up if it's okay. Mr. Bupkis is the man that sent the tweet, and he says, blah, blah, Rodgers, Superman, blah, blah, playoffs, blah, blah. Carolina is going to put the sleeper hold on the Packers season so we can finally get back to reality next Monday. And this is probably a good reality check right here because, and since I'm just like spitting out all kinds of freezing cold takes, here's another one. I think the Panthers are the Packers' toughest remaining test of the regular season. And there's some people up in arms over that one.
Because tougher than Minnesota.
Tougher than Minnesota. Yep. Here's why. For one, Rodgers is going to, if he gets cleared this week, will have been back for a second week when the Packers play Minnesota. There will be a better rhythm to the offense. Everything will be in transition at that point. It's a home game, and... we can talk forever about Rodgers in December and home games and, you know, week 16, all this stuff. They've been massively, massively successful in that position against just about anyone. But the top reason why I feel that way is the Panthers are a good football team. And the Vikings can tell you that because they just lost to the Carolina Panthers. Jonathan Stewart had 3 rushing touchdowns in that game. And it's going to be the toughest test for the Packers, in my mind, for 2 reasons. It's the, well, 3 reasons, I guess. 1, it's on the road. 2, it's Rodgers' first week back. And 3, you have to stop that run game. This is going to be a test of the Packers' run defense that we've not seen. And what it means is, and look, Aaron Rodgers is the game changer. He just is. No question. But this game and the success of the Packers in this game could very well hinge on Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, inside and outside linebackers, right? Stuffing the run, getting up there, getting physical, and doing so for 4 quarters because the Panthers have a unique combination in Jonathan Stewart and Christian McCaffrey. You've got a couple of guys there that, that have to be dealt with. So... I don't want to overlook that aspect of it. You would hate to see Rodgers return and put up a terrific stat line and have it spoiled because you couldn't stop the run. So I just wanted to make sure that was there. The Panthers, in my mind, are the toughest of the three tests. They go top to bottom. Panthers, the Vikings will be tough in my mind, but if the Packers win this week, Minnesota gets a little easier next week. And if they win those two, I feel like Detroit is just they go in and just grab it, right? That's what the Packers do in Detroit. They just, you need the win, you get the win. Road Detroit is the new home Detroit. Remember how they used to win every year at home against Detroit? Road Detroit is that now. Richard Rodgers, Hail Mary. Last year, week 17. I feel like that's just going to happen, but the Panthers will be tough. So, I have successfully strayed from topic, Joe. Brett Hundley. Been around 2 months. He has. We've seen Hundley go through some different phases in his time as the Packers' starting quarterback. And understandably, off the top, Hundley was conservative, he was slow, he was easing his way in, he was making sure to not lose the game for the Packers, but he wasn't quite doing enough to win games for the Packers. Then there was phase two Hundley, where he gained a little bit of confidence, but then he was starting to do too much. He was forcing balls into the end zone. He was getting picked off in the end zone on opening possessions. He was starting a snowball in the wrong direction. That was phase two, Hundley. He had grown a little, but he was venturing a little too far out. And then what we saw in Cleveland, phase three, Hundley, was actually not that bad. He's not going to be a star in the league, I don't think. But is that a spot starter and possibly a starting quarterback on a, you know, maybe a bottom end team in the NFL? Yeah, probably. He only had 11 incompletions against Cleveland. He threw three touchdowns. No interceptions. And he circled back around to an extent to where he was in the beginning. In the beginning, he was doing little things to not lose the game. At the end, he was capable of doing more, but he was still following that idea. He knew that he needed help from the other parts of the team to win the game, the run game, the defense. So he made sure he did his part without blowing it. And that's about as good as you could ask. I mean, that Cleveland line could be a Rodgers line. The look at his pass, it's like 35 of 46. The yardage total, if Rodgers completes 35 passes, would be higher. We know that. Three touchdowns.
Maybe over 400 yards.
Oh, yeah. One easily. Of those fantasy championship winning kind of days. But three touchdowns and no picks. Folks, you know, say what you will about Hundley, but in those last couple of weeks, you saw Hundley mature to the point, as young quarterbacks do after a handful of games, where he was doing the right things to put his team in a position to win the game. And in the quarterback realm and in the starting pitcher realm in baseball, that's probably an 8-digit job for your career, right? I mean, he could turn this into several more years as a backup making 2 commas per year. That's not that out of the realm.
Yeah, I think all of that is pretty fair. I think, first of all, you have to be pleased that the Packers with Brett Hundley, since Aaron Rodgers went down, are 3-5. Now, the 3-5 record, it isn't great. You really had an opportunity to finish 5-3 in that stretch. The Pittsburgh and Baltimore games are the games that really come back to haunt me as a fan, because the Packers were in position to win those games. They had a chance to make a comeback against Baltimore, and there were some errors in that game against Pittsburgh, but Packers, they played a hell of a game, you know, better than what I expected. But I think, for what it's worth, Brett Hundley, he's never, I don't know if he'll ever be a confident passer. Maybe it makes a difference if he's playing every single week for the next 3 years and he's able to develop confidence that way. That's not going to happen, though, with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, if the Packers decide to cut him loose and not have him as a backup quarterback, then he'll have an opportunity somewhere else, because I think there's a team out there that would try to make him a starting quarterback and try to take a chance to see if they can develop him and try to make him better. But I think at this point, you saw this in the Cleveland game, Brett Hundley was in a position in the second half where it was on him. The coaching staff knew that Brett Hundley, once he's forced to get out of the pocket, unless he's on the run, he's not going to be able to make a good throw. So it was all about quick releases, just stepping back in the pocket and getting that ball off. And you saw a lot of those short, you know, 5-6 yard passes in the flat to a combination of receivers. It was, I think that was the best move possible by that coaching staff to have Brett Hundley just play to that strength, because that was the only strength he had. The run game was being stopped, so you had to be able to just get the ball off, quick releases, dink and dunk your way down the field. And really, to open up the second half, Kevin, that worked well. Packers couldn't convert on a 4th-and-1, but then they did it later in that game. That was the only thing that could work. And I think at this point, if Hundley has to play again against Carolina, that's going to have to be the strategy. Brett Hundley is just not the kind of guy that's going to be able to throw a deep ball unless he sees that receiver wide open and he's able to make a decent throw so that receiver can catch it. Davante Adams is the one guy I can think of that can make that connection happen. But I think for what it's worth, I've never really been hard on Hundley. I know he's had his flaws, but he's never going to be Aaron Rodgers. He's not Aaron Rodgers. And for Packers fans to be so hard on him during the stretch, I think is a little unfair. I think for what it's worth, Brett Hundley has been able to do as much as he can. And he's not a great quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be a great quarterback. But I think he's learned some things. I think he can be a decent backup in this league. And if there is a team that wants to go out there and develop him, so be it. But that's kind of where I'm at. And I don't think against Carolina, if Hundley has to play anyway, if the bone scan comes back and Aaron Rodgers is still not at 100% where they want him, we'll see what McKenzie and all these other doctors think. But I think the Packers still have a chance at beating Carolina, even though it's on the road. Hundley seems to do better on the road anyway. So I don't think I can chalk this game up as an automatic loss against Carolina if Hundley plays. If they just try to go to what they had and try to rely on the run game again, they still have a chance.
Yep. And it is, for the Packers, a totally different situation than when Rodgers went out. The one thing that has happened well for this Packers team in the absence of Rodgers is that, and I use this analogy and I'm going to use it again, it was as if the head had been chopped off and the other parts of the body had to learn to be stronger. Like when you lose a sense and other senses get stronger. The run game is stronger. Rodgers returns to a stronger run game. I think the defense is pretty much stronger. There are secondary concerns still, but they're doing some great things and enough to help this team win their last two games in overtime, which is something that has never happened in the history of the franchise. And one last thought on Hundley. As a 5th-round pick at quarterback, mm-hmm. and in his last two games, he beat the number one pick of the 2015 draft, Winston, mm-hmm. and DeShone Kizer, who was a 2nd-round pick coming out of Notre Dame as a highly prized quarterback that the Browns thought could help turn things around. Those expectations weren't on Hundley, mm-hmm. but he won both those games with some help from his team. More of the Bill Michaels Show after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee, filling in for Bill today. Lots of Packers talk. Let's go straight up to Pete Doherty at the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com, because Pete, we could just blow hot air here all day, but the big story is where you are, and that has to do with a certain quarterback and maybe a decision that's made today. But as you know, and most people at home know, we don't get a chance to talk to Mike McCarthy today. Do you think we'll know today what's going on with Rodgers?
I guess, yeah, my guess is word will leak out. I mean, I'm pretty sure, strongly suspect, they probably knew yesterday. I mean, Pat McKenzie can look at those scans and tell whether Rodgers is healed enough and he can play. You know, they wanted to send it out to other experts smartly, you know, make sure you didn't miss something, make sure, you know, guys that you really, doctors that you really trust, you know, are seeing the same thing you are. But I'm pretty sure they probably knew yesterday and they probably know right now. And, you know, I'm sure part of their thinking is keep it under wraps as long as you can. Don't tell Carolina till you have to. But word like this will probably leak out. You know, they teams leak, agents, for instance, leak stuff to the national writers, you know, to keep on those guys' good side. So it'll probably come out through one of those guys sometime today, I would guess.
And Pete, the other factor is you have this quarterback who's been doing this now for nearly 2 months. So if your main quarterback doesn't get the chance to go. You do get Brett Hundley back out there. Hundley isn't Rodgers. I don't think anyone's making that argument, but Hundley has certainly done well enough the last 2 weeks in these two overtime wins. What have you seen from him from a progression standpoint from, say, those first few weeks to these last few weeks?
Yeah, he's definitely improved. I think as much as anything, they've, you know, slowly over that time figured out the best way to play with him. You know, even, you know, for one of the things to do is to run the ball a lot, so, you know, take a lot of the pressure off him. But another thing that they learned just in this game Sunday was, you know, he ran a spread offense, read option offense in high school and in college. They never huddled up when he was at UCLA. It was just spread, read option, you know, quick reads and throws. And when they did that, you know, for the final quarter and a half or so on Sunday, he looked pretty comfortable because that's what he's done, you know, his whole career. So I think they've slowly figured out how to play with him and the different ways, you know, the different options they have to get the most out of him and use his strengths and minimize his weaknesses. So, and he did improve a lot, and he showed he can make some plays with his legs and, you know, escape sacks. I mean, he's a big, strong guy and all that. I mean, he still has his limitations, but he improved a lot. I have trouble seeing them, you know, going to Carolina and winning with, I mean, that'll be hard enough with Rodgers at quarterback. I don't think it's happening with Hundley at quarterback. I mean, you never know. But I thought he played well early on. It looked like, I don't know about you guys, but I was questioning whether he was going to end up being good enough to be a number two. And I think by the end of his, you know, by Sunday, he showed that he can, he at least can be a, you know, a solid number two in the league.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. The Joe Callahan talk stopped once Hundley started doing at least enough to keep his team in games. Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette, and PackersNews.com. We focus on quarterbacks, and then Ron Rivera in Carolina says yesterday, well, this is nice because it's going to be a big distraction for a bunch of people. You think he's talking about the Panthers' run game? Because I think that's a pretty key thing to stop this week.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I don't know what he was referring to there. I mean, let's face it, quarterbacks are they're everything in this league, and you know, that's why Carolina's going to be tough to beat. Is, you know, Cam Newton can be a little erratic as a passer, but he can just kill you. He can beat you with his legs. So yeah, maybe they think that you know, all of this will be a distraction for the Packers. I don't think it will be for the coaching staff. I doubt for the players because, I mean, this is a playoff game for the Packers. So, I don't think they'll be distracted by anything, and they'll probably, I mean, I sure have to think Rodgers is going to be playing this week, so they're going to have the, you know, I'm sure the Packers will pick up a little extra juice in their practice week, you know, seeing him behind center again.
Yeah, no question that just the sight is a big thing. And really, in my mind, Rodgers has tried to make that happen from a visual standpoint even before he was ready to come back. I'm curious to see your thoughts about this, but you know, the world was focusing in that pregame in Pittsburgh. Rodgers walks out on the field, throws the balls deep downfield. All the NBC cameras are all over it. There's a little show in that, right? He's reminding the team that he's still around, right?
Oh, that has to be. You know, even the week before when he was on the practice field, when, you know, they know when the media is allowed into practice. And he was doing some drills with some towels, some throwing motions, you know, using towels and all that. And that was a couple of weeks before. I think that was just a sign to his teammates, you know, because that's all going to make all the reports, and his teammates are going to see that if they didn't notice it on the field. Just a sign to them that, hey, this, you know, things are progressing. Yeah, and then, of course, the thing in Pittsburgh. And, yeah, it's a message to the team. It's I'm sure he and McCarthy even talked about it. It's a way to keep the team, you know, reminding them, keep winning, and the quarterback's back, and then the whole world of possibilities opens up if you're still in the playoff hunt when he's back.
Do you think that Carolina is the toughest of the three remaining? A lot of people would say the Vikings would be the Packers' toughest test remaining, but because it's at home, because it's a week farther along, I feel like that is not as difficult a test as playing the Panthers on the road. Would you agree with that?
I would. You know, I've been thinking about this for a couple of days, and I mean, that Vikings defense is really good, so that makes them a tough team to play. But yeah, I'm in the court there. If this is the game, you know, I mean, obviously they got to win all three, but if they win this one, at least in my mind, their odds of getting to 10 wins, you know, shoot way up because, you know, for all the reasons you suggest, you know, first game back for Rodgers, I'm just not sure how sharp he'll be. Maybe he's from watching tape and all the practice work he's been able to do. Maybe he'll be just as sharp as he was before, you know, before he got hurt, and they have a run game that they didn't really realize they had before he got hurt, and that'll help him. So maybe there won't be any difference, but, you know, there could be a little bit of rust, and one or two passes could be the difference in a game. So, you know, I wonder if he'll be a little rusty. And that's a really good defense, and like I said, Cam Newton, you know, he's not a pinpoint passer, but he is so good with his legs, you know, he can beat you with a scrambling.
The media's version of a pinpoint passer, Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Pete, always appreciate the insight.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kevin.
All right, that's Pete Doherty. And Pete joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Little Twitter feud. Demaryius Randall and Josh Gordon get social or antisocial with their media next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program being brought to you by Quick Trip, top-tier alternative fuels, no-fee ATMs, home of the Karuba Coffee Bar. And speaking of the Karuba Coffee Bar, right now, wouldn't a Packers tumbler or even a Vikings tumbler, if you're listening over in Minnesota, be a nice Christmas gift idea? 24 ounces of goodness right then and there in that tumbler. They're on sale right now at your local Quick Trip.
The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58, stepping in for the day for Bill Michaels. December, we try to get him a couple of days. It's week 15. You got to get a breather, right? Got to get a little bit of a breather. So that's happening for him today. Radio Joe, unfortunately, gets no breathers at all. Unless it involves, like, some major surgery or, you know, you're in here throwing innings no matter what. No matter what, Joe. You're here.
I'm always here.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah.
It's about Joe. All right. Packers win in overtime against Cleveland. And afterwards, somebody asked Demaryius Randall about Josh Gordon. And bear in mind that you look at Josh Gordon's stat line from the game Sunday, and that not all of that was against Randall. Morgan Burnett was on coverage for the big play that Gordon had in that game. So against Randall, Josh Gordon was held to one catch. This was a key component in the Packers' overtime win against the Browns. So Randall was asked about it, about covering Josh Gordon. He said he had one catch. Any more questions? So, you know, happy, a little cocky about it. It's fine. Josh Gordon's response, and we could break this thing down all day, but here it is. Great win for them, but let's be serious. Considering several of our disadvantages as a team, this kid couldn't hold my jockstrap on my worst day, LOL, and then added, you know, don't at me. Well, he added Randall time. Okay, before I get to the response, can I go back to a phrase in this tweet? Considering several of our disadvantages as a team. So he's going to call out Randall and his teammates at the same time?
Real smart, Josh.
Yikes. And then Randall responded, you must be on that
blank
expletive again. Oh my goodness. Which, by the way, that's also like treading in crazy territory. If I said that to you or you said that to me, that would be one thing. But when we say that to someone whose troubles with substances had them out of the league for 3 years, that's a jab.
Demaryius Randall has had a history of having an attitude, whether it's towards the Packers media or towards other players. He's had a history of that, and he's not afraid. Demaryius has never been afraid to speak his mind.
Yeah, and this is not a tweet I would make, okay? But I'm a little bit entertained. I hate to say that, but yeah, I am.
You know what though? Packer fans need to give Demaryius Randall some credit. He's stepped up.
Yeah,
considering how bad this secondary has been, and considering, and some can argue that Kevin King, a rookie, is your best corner in the secondary. You need Demaryius Randall to step up his game, and he's done just that. Because it looked like, especially early on in that game when they were playing a lot of zone, and Demaryius Randall was letting safeties cover Josh Gordon, Josh Gordon was unleashing. And Josh Gordon, it felt like, was going to have a monster performance. If you had him on your fantasy team, that's what you were expecting, especially through that first quarter. But Randall, he stuck to him like glue through the whole game, Kevin.
Yeah.
And to only have three catches for 69 yards, that's part of the reason why you won this game, is because Demaryius Randall, he owned Josh Gordon, especially in the second half.
And that overtime play that was the interception, you go back and look at the film, because I know all of you just have film at the house.
Right.
But seriously, if you could look, go on social and look at that play. First thing Kizer's looking for is Gordon, and because Randall has him covered, Kizer goes on the run, Clay slaps him in the arm, rainbow pass, Josh Jones picks it, Packers win it. So he had a direct path in one of the key plays in that game in overtime by covering Josh Gordon as effectively as he did. Keep that up. You keep doing that and you get Aaron Rodgers back, and we go back to our little conspiracy theory. Playoff-bound Packers would be a fun, fun thought after all the things that have happened this year. We got plenty more today on the Bill Michaels Show. Stay with us.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.